Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Jeremiah chapter 47, which I will entitle Judgment on the Philistines. We are now in that section of Jeremiah where Jeremiah is delivering hellfire and damnation prophecies against the surrounding nations of Israel. And the Philistines are one of those nations. Those nations include Edom, Ammon, Moab, Syria, and so forth. So we start now in Jeremiah 47. This is a short chapter, only 7 verses. I'll read the entire chapter. This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning the Philistines before Pharaoh attacked Gaza. This is what the Lord says. See how the waters are rising in the north? They will become an overflowing torrent. They will overflow the land and everything in it, the towns and those who live in them. The people will cry out. All who dwell in the land will wail at the sound of the hoofs of galloping steeds, at the noise of enemy chariots and the rumble of their wheels. Fathers will not turn to help their children. Their hands will hang limp. For the day has come to destroy all the Philistines and to cut off all survivors who could help Tyre and Sidon. The Lord is about to destroy the Philistines, the remnant from the coast of Kaphtor. Gaza will shave her head in the morning. Ashkelon will be silenced. O remnant on the plain, how long will you cut yourselves? Ah, sword of the Lord, you cry, how long till you rest? Return to your scabbard, cease and be still. But how can it rest when the Lord has commanded it, when he has ordered it to attack Ashkelon and the coast? So this chapter is a chapter of judgment on the Philistines. It's hard to date the prophecy. The commentator Joseph Benson says that the calamities on the Philistines probably happened during the Babylonian siege of Tyre right up the coast of the Mediterranean. That siege of Tyre lasted from 586 to 573, a long siege. But on the other hand, Wikipedia has the Philistines being destroyed in 604 by the Babylonians, which of course is before the siege of Tyre in 586. So we really don't know, but it's somewhere around the time that the Babylonians came to wipe out Judah and Jerusalem in 586 BC. Now in verse 1, the prophecy is said to be delivered before Pharaoh attacked Gaza. Now which Pharaoh it was and when this attack on Gaza happened is a matter of conjecture. Nobody knows for sure. Benson says that all the options are conjectural and he gives several options. It could have happened in 588 BC, in that year and a half before Jerusalem fell. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar's siege of Jerusalem lasted 18 months, so the city was besieged 18 months before it fell in 586. And during that siege, Nebuchadnezzar had to go out and meet the Pharaoh who was coming to help Judah. That Pharaoh was Hophra, and Benson says that Pharaoh Hophra, seeing the Babylonians come on, veered over to Gaza and attacked it. I guess that would assume that Gaza was controlled by the Babylonians. Another speculation is that the Pharaoh in 609, who was Necho II, he was on his way up to Haran to aid the Assyrians, and on the way up there, of course, he had to go through Judah, and before he killed Josiah at Megiddo, he attacked Gaza. I'm not sure who would be holding Gaza at that time. Another option, this one given by Benson, is that Necho II, having killed Josiah in 609 at Megiddo and gone on up to the siege of Haran, which failed, and having come back from Haran, having come back through Judah on his way back to Egypt, he stopped off in Gaza and attacked it. Again, I'm not sure who would be holding Gaza at that time, but this is such an obscure historical reference that it doesn't really matter because nobody's ever going to pin it down. Now, who are these Philistines that got wiped out in this chapter? Well, they were one of the nations to be destroyed by Babylon. As I earlier mentioned, we read in Jeremiah 25, verse 20, all the kings of the land of Uz, that's in Arabia, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, that's 4 of the 5 Philistine cities. Gath is the only one not mentioned there. Now, these are the cities that are going to drink the cup of the wine of the wrath of God so that they will drink and stagger, as related in Jeremiah 5, as related in Jeremiah 25, verses 15 and 16. Wikipedia says of the Philistines, they originated as an immigrant group from the Aegean that settled in Canaan circa 1175 BC. Now, we'll say this. A lot of times people say that they came from Crete or Cyprus or Cilicia, which is further east than the Aegean Sea, but it could be they came from the Aegean first, and nobody really knows. So the Philistines gradually assimilated elements of the local Levantine societies while preserving their own unique culture. In 604 BC, the Philistine polity, after having already been subjugated for centuries by the Neo-Assyrian Empire, was finally destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar II of the Neo-Babylonian Empire. After becoming part of his empire and its successor, the Persian Empire, they took over in 539, the Persians did, the Philistines lost their distinct ethnic identity and disappeared from the historical and archaeological record by the late 5th century BC. So the Philistines, kind of like one-hit wonders, they came and they were gone. But in the process, they ended up giving the Israelites a whole heap of trouble. They're wiped out in 604 by Nebuchadnezzar, and then the remnants of them gradually disappear from history. Now in verse 2, the Lord says this, "See how the waters are rising in the north? Those waters are the Babylonian army. They come from the north because the Babylonians, they couldn't come from the east because they would have to cross that big Arabian desert. They had to go north up the Euphrates Valley and then come south and cross the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River up in Syria is running east to west at that time, so they would come across that river going south. They will become an overflowing torrent." In other words, they're going to drown the Philistines. "They will overflow the land and everything in it, the towns and those who live in them." And then the rest of the verse is about the people crying, the land wailing, the horses galloping, chariots rumbling. "Fathers will not even help their children. Their hands will hang limp. The fathers will be so frightened they won't even think to lift their hands to protect their own children." Verse 4, "For the day has come to destroy all the Philistines and to cut off all survivors who could help Tyre and Sidon." Those survivors are survivors of the Philistines. They're not going to be any, at least not enough to go north up the Mediterranean coast to help Tyre and Sidon, which are cities right to the north, and they were allied with Philistia against the Babylonians. Now, at the end of verse 4, we see that the Philistines are described as the remnant from the coast of Kaphtor. Now, Kaphtor is possibly Crete, one of the possible places from whence the Philistines had come to end up in Canaan land. The Encyclopedia Britannica says, according to biblical tradition, the Philistines came from Kaphtor, possibly Crete, although there is no archaeological evidence of a Philistine occupation of the island. The two scriptures that mention Kaphtor are Deuteronomy 2:23 and Jeremiah 47:4, our verse that we're looking at right now. Deuteronomy 2:23 says, "The Kaphtorim, who came from Kaphtor, destroyed the Avim, who lived in villages as far as Gaza, and settled in their place." So we have this group called the Kaphtorim, which I am going to take as coming from Crete. I think many scholars think that, and that's close enough for me. They settle in Gaza. Gaza is that city that is basically the southwestern extremity of Israel, just a couple miles from the Mediterranean coast on the road that leads from Canaan back down into Egypt. It's still there today. There's been enough wars there to fill up several history books. It was one of the five Philistine cities. So the Kaphtor lived in Gaza, according to Deuteronomy 2:23. Now, our verse here in Jeremiah 47:4 specifically says that the Philistines were from the islands of Kaphtor. Wikipedia says that modern sources tend to associate Kaphtor with localities such as Cilicia, Cyprus, or Crete. Crete is the big island right south of Anatolia, present-day Turkey, and Crete is just to the west of Cyprus, another island south of the Anatolian Peninsula, right before you get to Syria on the Mediterranean coast. Cilicia, of course, is the southeastern corner of the Anatolian Peninsula. Present-day Turkey is where Paul was from, where Tarsus was. So that general area there is where the Philistines might have come from, roughly 12th century BC, or they could have come from further west from the Aegean Sea. Now, Ashkelon is mentioned in verse 5. "Gaza will shave her head in the morning," says verse 5, "and Ashkelon will be silenced." So Gaza and Ashkelon are two very prominent cities of the Philistines. If you look at the map, Ashkelon is right on the coast, about 10, 11, 12 miles north of Gaza. Gaza, as I said, is right there at the southeastern corner of the Mediterranean Sea, separating Israel from Egypt. Now, these five Philistine cities are called the Pentapolis, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica. Those five cities were Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Gath, and Ekron. Ashdod, Gath, and Ekron are not mentioned in our chapter 7. Ashdod, Gath, and Ekron are not mentioned here in our chapter 47, but Gaza and Ashkelon are. All five of these cities are mentioned in Joshua 13:3. The five Philistine rulers of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. So these cities are very well known. Ashkelon in biblical times was the oldest and largest seaport in Canaan, according to gotquestions.org. Many nations and tribes tried to control it, according to that website. It was a highly desirable seaport for trade and military staging. And I know this. I was in the Negev with my wife and a tour guide. He pointed out one of these oil pumping stations and a pipeline. You could see the pipeline running across the Negev desert. And he said, that pipeline is going to Ashkelon. And from there, oil will be shipped to the European countries around the Mediterranean Sea. The oil was coming up from a lot, which was on the Gulf of Aqaba, which of course is on the Red Sea, which then opens up to India and other places. And so Ashkelon is still a very important commercial place, even to this day. Jeremiah had earlier prophesied its destruction in Jeremiah 25, verses 15, 16, and 20. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take this cup of the wine of wrath from my hand and make all the nations I am sending you to drink from it. They will drink, stagger, and go out of their minds because of the sword I am sending among them. Dropping down to verse 20 of Jeremiah 25. And all the mixed peoples, all the kings of the land of Uz, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, they're going to be drinking that cup of the wine of the wrath of God. Now, interestingly, Ashkelon was prophesied about in Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 6 through 7, but this was not a prophecy of doom and destruction, but a prophecy of restoration. Let me read that for you now in Zephaniah 2, verses 6 and 7. The seacoast will become pasture lands with caves for shepherds and folds for sheep. The coastland will belong to the remnant of the house of Judah. They will find pasture there. They will lie down in the evening among the houses of Ashkelon, for the Lord their God will return to them and restore their fortunes. Some say that's fulfilled after the Arab-Israeli War of 1948 when Ashkelon was granted to the state of Israel. I don't know, it seems to me that it could refer to the time when the Jews returned from Babylon under Persia and when they reestablished the kingdom down there. I'm not sure of that, but it could be. At any rate, Ashkelon, like many other pagan places over whom doom is pronounced by prophets, ends up getting a restoration prophecy. That happens a lot. I'm scared to quote from my memory, but I know it happens a lot to other places. And it could be that these places are merely symbolic of the Gentiles, which are coming into the church. It's not really talking about a particular ethnic group, but they are symbolic of the whole mass of unbelieving Gentiles in the world, those of the elect called out of those mass of Gentiles. But at any rate, good news for Ashkelon in the book of Zephaniah. Now, at the end of verse 5, the Lord says this, O remnant on the plain, that plain is the famous Shephelah, which is the plain along the Mediterranean coast, which runs, I think, all the way up to Carmel, all the way down to Gaza. And the Shephelah actually includes that plain, but also that low ridge of hills just to the west of Jerusalem. But the Philistines are famous for living on the Shephelah. Now, at the end of verse 5, the Lord asked Gaza and Ashkelon, how long will you cut yourselves? That seems sort of strange, but it's not strange if you knew the culture back then. Cutting oneself was a typical sign of mourning, slashing your flesh. Now in verse 6, the sword of the Lord is addressed, poetically of course. Ah, sword of the Lord, you cry. Who's the you? Well, the you is the sword of the Lord, but who's addressing the sword of the Lord, poetically? Probably Jeremiah. Could be the Philistines in their distress. The Philistines saying, oh, sword of the Lord, how about holding off? How about stopping? How about return to your scabbard, cease and be still? That's probably the Pharisees saying that, not Jeremiah. Verse 7, but how can it rest when the Lord has commanded it, when he has ordered it to attack Ashkelon and the coast? In other words, you're toast, Philistines. And again, we should be happy about that because the Philistines were the mortal enemies of the people of God, the Israelites. And so on that happy note, although it's a somber note, we have now finished Jeremiah chapter 47. We are now prepared to go to our next chapter, chapter 48, which we will entitle Judgment on Moab. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoy the discussion of Jeremiah chapter 47.